broadcasting around the world on International Shortwave and on the Radio Disclosure Radio Network. I'm your host tonight, Matt Aaron. And tonight's subject is going to be one that you're going to be sitting back, and it could change your world, it could change your life. Things that move objects in your house in the middle of the night. Things that can freak you out. Things that can plant thoughts in your head. Yes, folks. We're talking about exorcisms tonight. We're talking about Satan. We're talking about the darkness that surrounds this planet. World-renowned exorcist Everett Koch joins us. And Everett, how long have you been doing this?
43 years, Matt.
And is there anything that anyone could say to you that at this point, when it comes to this subject, that would surprise you?
Well, no, I'm not surprised at anything. And it's a little hard to talk me out of the subject, having done it this long.
Well, before we get into how people can get delivered, before we get into all the craziness surrounding this subject and the taboo of the subject. And folks, if you have small children that you don't want to hear this tonight, my suggestion is to go ahead and turn off your radio, or, and if you can't handle it, I suggest you do the same thing, because tonight we're going to dive into this head deep. We're not going to clown around, would be the way to put it. But before we do that, Everett, can you give some history of yourself and kind of talk about what got you into this? What made Everett Koch the pastor you are today?
Well, sure, Matt. It never was in my business plan to get into this kind of ministry. I was groomed to be a mortgage banker. I got a degree from University of Oklahoma in finance. My dad is a mortgage banker. Knew I'd be showing up in that. However, when I graduated from University of Oklahoma, it was a Cold War. They were drafting, so I could be a private in the Army, or I could apply for officer candidate school, which I did with the Navy. I had to serve a year longer. Turned out to be a good decision. While they taught us at officer candidate school to go aboard a destroyer and all about a destroyer ship, they had openings in Navy Air, which I applied for. And as I graduated and became a commissioned naval officer, I went down to the Naval Air Station Air Ground Officer School, Jacksonville, Florida, and then later to Aircraft Maintenance Officer School at the Millington, Tennessee Naval Air Station near Memphis. I got married about that time to an Oklahoma City girl, and then I requested orders. It was time to, you could put request in. I put Guam Island in because I'm a radio amateur. I talked to a lot of radio amateurs on Guam, knew it was a good duty station, and the water was 82 degrees. I had gotten into skin diving previously on a student group from OU to Southeast Asia, and got initiated out of Singapore and skin diving, and I wanted to go somewhere I could do that. So everything worked out. My wife went with me. We spent 2.5 years on Guam. Yes, the skin diving was great. And our first baby was born. And then back finally 2.5 years later to Oklahoma City and into the mortgage banking business, which I was for 40 years. I was CEO for 26 years after my dad passed away in 1974. In 1978, a tragedy struck. I lost an 18-year-old daughter. In fact, she was born on Guam. And I had this pain and agony for, it was a horrible thing. You know, none of us as parents expect to lose a child. They expect to lose grandparents and parents at some point, but a child doesn't compute. And anyway, that shocked me. And a friend of mine who I'd grown up with, who had become a pathologist, we were best men at each other's weddings, in fact, and hunted and fished together all the year, still fish together. Lynn Myers, here in Oklahoma City, Dr. Myers, he was going to a church. While we have similar denominational backgrounds, he had started going to what's known as a full gospel church, where they just read the Bible and doing it. And they were even doing exorcisms over there. And I was curious about that. It was a little hard for me to accept initially. In this modern space age, there might be actual demons around and even bothering Christians. And so I asked if I could set in on some of that kind of ministry. Dr. Myers worked it out with the pastors over there. So I went over several different times and set in on these exorcisms. Lena told me there were a lot of people coming with all kinds of problems, like fear and anger and rage and depression and anxiety and on, all kinds of addictions, and they were getting relief there, deliverance from it, even physical healing. So I was really curious to see it. Well, one of the cases that I set in on was about a 40-year-old spirit-filled Christian. A man that had come, we sat down there in the church office. The pastors that were leading it started interviewing the man. He, you know, what's your problems? What's going on? And as this man talked about his problems, I noticed the pastor wrote those problem names down on a yellow tablet. Things like I mentioned earlier, fear, anger, rage, depression, anxiety, addictions, and so on. And I was later to learn this pastor was writing those problem names down, figuring that some of those names of problems could actually be the names of demons. So anyway, after quoting some scriptures, this pastor moved into ministry, commanding these to come out, especially the problem areas that were overboard and out of balance, reoccurring and tormenting. He was commanding those, let's say fear, like that. He was saying, you spirit of fear, in the name of Jesus the Christ, come out. Repeating that over and over. Well, suddenly this man's face contorted. Now, see, I'm thinking this is psychological. I wasn't convinced demons were still around this modern world, space age even. But as he commanded that, this man's face contorted, kind of went sideways like, and thought that was odd. Then I see his eyes are glaring. Well, that wasn't the case in the interview, but they are now. And then the voice that comes out of his mouth is deeper and just strange. But this is what convinced me. When the pastor finally said to that voice, speaking out of that Christian's mouth, he said, now, who is your master? Who do you serve? And it answered right back, Satan. Well, that surprised me. I'm beginning to think that this might be something to this. It might even be real, because I knew a Christian would not go around saying something like that. I was a born-again Christian at age 13. So it was an amazing thing to see, and I just decided if that's what's talking, it must be a demon.
Well, Pastor Cox, when we come back from the break, I want to talk about what ailments could be driving the modern-day Christian crazy with these spirits. What a story. We'll be back. This is Radio Disclosure. Welcome back to Radio Disclosure. The number is 1-833-880-9899. That's 1-833-880-9899. World-renowned exorcist Pastor Cox joins us. That story you just told, Pastor, I think that would make anybody a believer if they went through that. Sometimes seeing is believing, but also, would you not tend to agree that part of the game with the stuff today is kind of hiding itself, not directly showing itself out there to the average everyday Christian?
Well, absolutely. And of course, the enemy, the demons, Satan and his demons are very good at that. They, as long as they're running undisclosed, they can pull off all their schemes, which, as Jesus said in John 10:10, is to steal, kill, and destroy. And they're doing that even in Christians. And, of course, a Christian is very vulnerable, not having any, seldom do churches talk about this or train in it, just as I had never heard of the reality of it. And so, Christians are very vulnerable. Everyone's vulnerable until they learn how to protect themselves in this.
So how can somebody protect themselves at this given time?
Well, first off, you have to be a born-again Christian to speak in the name of Jesus. That was tried in the Bible by some people that saw the disciples talking in the name of Jesus. But you have to be born again. That is, you have to make Jesus recognize who he is, that God sent Jesus to the cross, all pre-planned for all mankind. And when Jesus shed his blood at the cross, he paid for our sin. And once we accept him for doing that and recognizing he is the Son of God, God raised him from the dead, making him the Lord of our lives, now we're under the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we can come against these evil spirits because Jesus gave us commands to cast these demons out in his name. So it works. And of course, I've been doing it these 43 years and seeing the results. I'd have quit long ago if I didn't see it work and see people set free.
So when you say people set free, what are some of the light cases to the heavy cases that you've seen of people being set free?
Well, they're all heavy to the person that's being set free, I can tell you, Matt. They're being tormented. And again, like with fear, all kinds of fear. Fear of the future, fear of poverty, fear of being hurt, fear of trusting, fear of abandonment, fear of the dark. Just all kinds of fears that demons are behind. That's just a fear group. We find most people would have a good 36 evil spirits tormenting them. Not that they're in their spirit man as a born-again Christian, but since we have three parts, even the secular world recognizes that. In the Bible, 1 Thessalonians 5:23 points out we have a spirit, we have a body, we have a soul area, which is a mind, will, emotions. As a born-again Christian, your spirit is secure and going to heaven. Once the body dies, I think the soul would go as well. But while we're on earth, we have these three parts, and the demons hang out in the body, and they torment the soul, you know, mind, will, emotions. And even in the body, spirits of sickness. As Jesus cast out spirits, we do the same thing and see people get healed all the time. So those are, I mean, you could call them average. That's pretty much what we see in every case. They get a Jesus overhaul, as we call it, where they walk in depressed and all kinds of anxiety. And when we're finished with them, they look like a new person. In fact, last Monday night, I had the 33-year-old man that was suicidal after he actually coughed into the waste can and mucus as these spirits came out. That doesn't happen in every case, but he did. And when we were through with him, we had him go look in the mirror because he looked like a different person. And that is typical of what we see in the ministers. We do we did 17 cases the last 3 weeks on Monday night in a row and had a trained minister. I do a teaching and then a preparation and then assign a minister for one-on-one. And we rent a church on Monday nights. We've done this now for 37 years. And we do over 700 exorcisms a year, typically. We were only 455 in 2020 because of the virus had to shut down some.
So as you're doing these.
Say again?
As you're doing these, what are the common themes and threads you see people being oppressed by?
Well, it's just all across the board. They've had traumas in their lives that have left them depressed. And who's escaped that? I mean, if you're alive and you live very long, you're going to have plenty of traumas. And that leaves them with bad feelings, and often which are the names of demons that came in at the time of that trauma. And so it's just all across the board, Matt. Every case is different. We often comment among ourselves what the last exorcism was like, the next one is different. What's not different is the power that we've been given from the cross in Jesus' name to deal with them and cast these things out. Now, we find these demons often have, in fact, usually always, some legal right to be there. They're operating off even generational curses that came through at birth, certainly not fair. Witchcraft curses, curses that have been spoken by others, since the tongue has the power of life and death, will eat the fruits thereof. Some people, by speaking negatives, actually put curses on other people, and demons operate off those curses. So there's lots of ways people can be depressed and with anxiety, et cetera. That's just a few of the problem areas.
So as you've been going through this for the length of time, what would be the worst case that you've probably worked?
Well, I've probably forgotten it. After a few weeks, every now and then I'll remember some. Gosh, I hadn't thought about it in a long time. The worst one, they're all bad, but they manifest in a lot of different ways. The demons talking through them is pretty common on about a third of the people. We get a head demon up where I can interrogate it about the other demons under its authority. Again, we find most people have about three dozen all there again to steal, kill, and destroy, and they're doing it in a person's life. But we see all kinds of physical healings, even cancer, where the demons are causing it. You know, Jesus cast a spirit of infirmity out in Luke 13. Of course, he told us Christians to do the same works that he did, John 14:12, in his name. An amazing thought. I have to pinch myself. But that's exactly what Jesus said in the Bible. And certainly we find that works and has now, in my case, for 43 years. I was doing so many on a one-to-one, Matt, I realized finally I'm doing one almost every night. And I needed some help. And that's why in 37 years ago, I formed up Deliverance Ministries Incorporated here in Oklahoma City. And I started sharing with some of our Christians that seemed to have an interest in this. I shared what I'd learned so far and made them what I call team leaders. And so I pick one night a week, Monday nights, and we do a teaching. I do a teaching first and then assign one of these ministers to each person. And we rent a church. It's a large church for this on Monday nights. So we have a lot of rooms to minister in. Like I say, we did 17 cases last Monday and had a minister for each person. But they're all spectacular. I mean, we see short legs adjust out. inch, 2-3 inches sometimes, same with the arms. It's part of the, we call it the limb check. Their arms will adjust and pain in the back is gone. But the demons are causing so much of this stuff. The average Christian, the average person on the street doesn't have the slightest. They just figure it's their personalities and their own problems, physical problems. They're physical, all right, but they're being caused many times by evil spirits.
Yeah, the more you talk about this, the more that I get more and more interested in learning more, because it seems like to me, our society today has completely gone backwards from what I would consider to be normal. And from your perspective, someone told me you're 85 years old and you've been doing this for a very long time. You've been at ham for, I think, 71 years. That's a ham radio operator. I am as well, folks, for those of you that do not know that out there. When we come back, I want to talk about how our current society is affecting our spirituality. We'll be back in a moment. This is Radio Disclosure. Welcome back to Radio Disclosure. I've got world-renowned exorcist on the line with us from Oklahoma City. And he corrected me. He's 87 years old and been a ham for 72 years. I have to laugh at that because that's outstanding. He said he's seen 7 sun cycles. That's pretty amazing. So, Everett, I have a daughter. And the one thing that really concerns me is our society today. Music has been this thing that I've seen over and over throughout history. And at your age as a pastor, you probably can follow this a little bit as well from the perspective that I'm going to lay this out on. The music, even going back from rock and roll to the 1960s up until today, has continued to get worse and worse and worse. And the thing that just blows my mind, and I know it's become this major meme out there on Facebook land and Instagram land and all these different social media platforms, is the fact that the Cardi B song today, which I'm not even going to give it credence by, you know, giving it its title out there, versus Dr. Seuss, and we're finding Dr. Seuss offensive, but we're giving content out there, and we're producing content. We're programming the young children and the young minds to think it's okay to dress extremely sexually. We're teaching the young people to think about nothing but about self-gratification. And I'm not talking about that just in the sexual sense. That does exist there. You're 87 years old. You're a pastor. You're an exorcist. You've been doing this for longer than I have been alive at this point. As I bring up these subjects and as I talk about this, what are your thoughts on today's society, where we're at, and how does the average Christian home protect themselves from this influence?
Good question. There's 15 doors that we've recognized over these years that evil spirits can come through to torment even Christians. And you mentioned music and all, and some of these songs and all have been actually dedicated to Satan, and they've used satanic powers to draw people to them. There was just a recent conversation I had with one of my team leaders that she was listening to some old music back in the 80s. She mentioned AC/DC and some others I don't remember, but some of those songs were dedicated to Satan, and as people get involved with them and really let those that music soak down into their spirit, man, they become demonized with it. And that's just one point. The games today are satanic, many of them, satanically dedicated.
Now, are you talking computer games or board games? What kind of games are you speaking of?
Well, they're games that have these satanic overtones, you know, satanic stuff that a lot of young people find fascinating and get into. Again, it's not all of them, but there are some that are that way. So there's lots of ways that these demons can come in. That's why we've learned 15 doors of the doors that the spirits can come through. When we start learning about these, I start putting a prayer together. We call it the door-closing prayer. It's designed to close those doors the best we can before ministry. And what that does, it pulls the rug out from under the demons pretty well. Works amazingly well, really. The rest of the ministry goes well and easy. In fact, some people actually get some exorcisms going when they're actually doing the door closing. It's a prayer where I have people repeat. It takes about 15, 17 minutes of repeating. And that prepares them, though, for the rest of the steps we've learned to do. It's not just a quick deal. Our ministries take about, on Monday night, we start at 5:30 and usually go to 10:30. So it's 5 hours of teaching, of course, teaching on how to stay free. And then we get into the actual ministry. So we usually wind up about 10:30. Occasionally, two or three cases might go to 11:30 when we blow the whistle and have those people come back if they didn't finish. Most of the people finish in one evening, though. It's most amazing. Their life turned around in a matter of hours. Some people say when they first hear how long it takes, I usually say to them, well, if you went out to eat and went to a movie, it'd be about the same amount of time. Which do you think would be the best choice? Say your life turned around, maybe? You know, and to become their real self where these demons are not influencing them and covering them over, where the real person cannot hardly get to the surface. That's why you see people with these outrageous things with anger, you know, and violence and this fear thing where people are all locked up, won't even go outside their house, some of them. So that kind of thing.
So you were talking about these doors. You said, I think it was 15 doors.
Yes.
So for the listeners out there that don't know what you mean by doors and 15 doors, can you elaborate on that some more?
Sure, I can quickly. Of course, the first one, as I mentioned earlier, to get free from these demonic spirits, the demons, you're going to have to be a born-again Christian and make Jesus the Lord of your life, which is easy and easy prayer to take people through. And then if they sin later, even though their sin is washed away, when they become born again, one of the doors is when people sin later and they never get around to repenting it. The biggest of the 15 doors is the unforgiveness door. And, of course, we all know what the flesh wants to do when somebody we feel has done us wrong. We'd rather get revenge. But the Bible is very clear that we are to forgive. Jesus said we'll be turned to the tormentors if we don't. And that means forgiving people, all the people that we feel have hurt us, and then even forgiving ourselves. And with some people, they need to forgive God because they never had any teaching from their churches or anywhere about the reality of the demonic world. So they just blame God for bad things as well. Well, they're blaming the wrong party. Jesus, and she said, he's come that we'd have life and life abundant. And then Jesus said, the demons or Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And that's exactly what they're doing in people's lives. Others, of course, any involvement with witchcraft opens doors of Ouija boards and golden seances or tarot cards and all that kind of thing. Drugs and alcohol can be a door. The traumas can be a door, as I mentioned earlier. Idolatry of making something else out to be your God instead of our Jesus, the Christ, is number one. Rebellion and disobedience toward God. And then there's a generational doors that everybody has. It's coming down due to the sins and iniquities of forefathers. All these demons can be generational, come through at birth. So that door is always open with people. And curses, witchcraft curses have been spoken over them or by others as speaking negatives. Ungodly soul ties is another door that forms up between two people where there's been a lot of abuse, verbal abuse, sexual abuse, heavy control, a lot of fighting, strife, and that kind of thing. There's a prayer we take people through in breaking the ungodly soul ties, which is the door opener for the demons. We keep the godly soul ties, of course. And then there's even satanic assignments coming out of Satan's war room that are put on Christians that have a lot of God-given gifts. They're moving up the ladder in the gospel, becoming pastors, evangelists, and the enemy recognizes that, and Satan's war room puts assignments out. Demons go out on assignments to block that person's life, and a lot of high-level people in the gospel have fallen because of that. They never had any training. Very few people in the Christian churches, in America anyway, don't know much about what we're talking about. Now, in other countries, I've ministered in Haiti twice. Down in those countries, everybody knows about demons. They grew up around voodoo and all that. A common thing, but in America, you ask an average guy on the street or even Christians about demons, they don't even think they exist.
I think that's the plan for the United States. That's the plan, is to keep it so low that we can boil that pot until that frog is boiled or dead. We'll be back more with Pastor Cox here in just a moment. This is Radio Disclosure. Welcome back to Radio Disclosure. World-renowned exorcist Everett Cox joins us. Everett, if people want to get a hold of you, how can they do that?
Well, sure, Matt. It's Deliverance Ministries in Oklahoma City, Deliverance Ministries, Inc., actually. And our website is www.DEL, which is short for Deliverance, M-I-N, short for ministry, .org, D-E-L-M-I-N, .org. The phone number in Oklahoma City is area code 405-842-5509. And we have people that come from all over the country for ministry. They've seen the website. And then, after 37 years, word of mouth keeps us, it's most amazing, new people coming every week, usually a dozen to 15, 17 people. Most of them knew, never been there before, and that's gone on for 37 years.
That's amazing.
Yeah, but it's the word of mouth. I guess you could say we've hit critical mass on people coming, and it's amazing how it's usually a number that we can handle okay. If we're short of ministries, we do mass deliverance, which is works with a lot of people. But I have a book out also, which I wrote in 2010. It's not just a book. It is a book manual that has these steps in it that we've learned to do over these years, to take people through, to make, you know, every minister has a checklist, and it's amazing how well that works. I find a lot of deliverance ministers around the country do not do what we do. They just kind of go after the demons once they learn their names and attack. And we started out that way. I did 43 years ago, but we've learned a few things through these decades. And these steps really make ministry easy. It's seldom that we have outcries and people thrashing out of the chairs like we used to. You know, the heavy manifestations that you often see on TV and all. We don't have that. It's usually very easy one-on-one. People maybe yawning, coughing, or burping, or just feeling the spirits go. No big deal about it. And yet we get them free and their life turned around from several dozen plus demons. But that's the book has got all that in it, the steps that we use. And if a person is interested in learning and even to do this, I'd certainly recommend it. The name of the book is Doing the Supernatural Works of Jesus. Doing the Supernatural Works of Jesus, available through our website and also on Amazon and Kindle.
I'll go ahead and post that also to the Radio Disclosure website. So folks, if you're looking for it and you're looking for their website, you can go to radiodisclosure.com and find all that information there. One of the things I was going to ask you, Everett, this is, I got this note that was passed to me. Somebody said to me that, and I'm just reading this, that they have a friendly ghost that lives in their house that moves objects, does things that, you know, creeps them out every now and again, but they know it's there, it's okay, and it ain't no big deal. Should they be worried about this or not?
Ghosts are demons, and all of them are there to steal, kill, and destroy at some point. Many of them play the game of being nice for a while.
So you mean Casper the friendly ghost does not exist?
That's what we've seen. So we deal, I have a chapter in my book on exercising houses, buildings, and land, and it's amazingly common. We have people constantly call, and they're seeing things in their house. They're seeing dark forms. They're seeing things moved around. They're being sexually tormented with demons that are called incubus and succubus. Those are so common. In fact, they're in Webster's Dictionary. The old Webster's Dictionary tells exactly what they do. A sexual demon that comes on someone in the night and torments them. And so we hear a little of everything, just things moving around, bed shaking, water faucets turning on by themselves, doors slamming. The stuff that you hear about, we hear it too. And most people would not talk about it to those around them. They'll think they're crazy, but they'll talk freely to us knowing that we deal in it.
So there's definitely no such thing as I said before, Casper the friendly ghost. So that being said, if you're having those, what I would consider to be anomalies, your ministry is the place that these people can go, which is safe, and they can go and get deliverance from this apparent crazy that they're dealing with.
Matt,
go ahead.
There's even young people that have a spirit guide. They call it a little friend that comes to a lonely child, and the child starts communicating with them, and they play the game. They're friendly, but they are also to steal, kill, and destroy in that child's life. So all that's going on out there.
It's a scary thought when you sit back and you think about how complex this whole spirit world is compared to just the world that you think we live in. It's quite amazing. So another note that was passed to me here, I'm gathering some of these here. Is every thought your own?
Oh, that's a great question. No. The lie program is common on everybody, and that you'll recognize them because they're negatives. The enemy, the demons, have a way of speaking lies into a person's head. When I get a head demon up every time and where I can interrogate it, one of the things I have it do, and I'm communicating directly with it, and God's angels ready to use their swords if they don't cooperate, but I'll have that head demon give me the top 10 lies that's speaking into that person's life. And we're ministering, of course, to Christians. And I'll write those 10 lies. They're negative things like nobody loves you. You'll never amount to anything. You're a failure in what you're doing. You'll die early. And it's just negative. They pop into the person's head. After deliverance, you'll probably still hear them. But after going through and learning about this, you learn not to buy the lies. Rather, if you read in the Bible the positives of who you are in Jesus, and I've had demons even tell me that, they're having a hard time with the lies because this person is grounded too much in the Bible and who they are in Jesus.
So if somebody were to ask and say, you know what, I'm too far gone. You know, there's no way. I've done too much evil in my life. I'm going to go to hell. There's no way that I'm getting out of this. What would you say to that person?
That's a lie, of course. And that some of those demons are even say, you're no good. No one loves you. Go ahead and take yourself out. And, of course, a certain number of people commit suicide due to that lie program. But, that's a lie. That Jesus is in the overhaul business. We see people's lives change from the lowest that you can imagine to the highest you can imagine.
So the other part that I thought was interesting about your ministry, you're doing this show with Ted Randall, and every weekend you guys pretty much have someone that's been through the ministry that's on the air with you that gives their testimony. You have no shortage out of the 40-something years you've been doing this of clear people that have gone through the ministry, been delivered, and Christ has changed their life.
Yes, I did a local show in Oklahoma City on an AM station at noon for 22 years, 5 days a week, just a 15-minute show. I had about 12 minutes to interview, and they would tell how Jesus set their life free from these demons and how they came out and all that kind of thing. And then I'm doing the shows two shows a week now with testimonies.
Well, that's the way to do it. What's the website one more time, Everett?
www.del, that's short for deliverance, MIN, short for ministry, .org.
And you've also got a book out, The Supernatural Works of Jesus. Did I say that correctly?
That's correct. With Everett Cox as author, myself, EverettCox, available on Amazon and Kindle.
So, folks, I'm going to put the links up there on radiodisclosure.com. Everett is definitely world-renowned in what he does. If you've got a problem, reach out to this ministry. They can definitely help you. We want to say thank you to WTWW and all of our other local affiliates. If you've got something to disclose to Radio Disclosure, call us 1-833-880-9899. 1-833-880-9899. Leave us a voicemail there. Like to hear from you, folks. Thanks for listening.